Let's pray before we get into the message. Father, we come before you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that through the hearing of your word and through the preaching of your word, that we grow in faith. And Father, we know that you want us to grow in our faith and to the point that we have great faith. And I praise you, Father, that you've taught us in your word exactly how to do that. And I thank you, Father, that through our faith that we do have victory that overcomes this world. And Father, you've made it so possible for us to live the life that you want us to if we'll only abide by your word and do the things that you tell us to do. And I ask you to be with me tonight that you would speak through me the very words that we need to hear. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about faith. We're going to be talking about taking our faith to the next level. Now, I realize and understand that we all know something about faith. For instance, we know that the Bible says that without faith it is impossible to please God. And we know that the Bible tells us that we need to have faith in God and that all things are possible to him that believes. And we know definitely Hebrews 11:1 where it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We've heard of a lot of the different sayings about faith, like faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. We also have heard like a little faith will bring your soul to heaven. Great faith will bring heaven to your soul. So we know some things about faith, and we know that the Bible teaches that faith is the key to everything for us as Christians. The Bible teaches us that we are saved by faith. And by faith that we live our lives. And that without faith, like I said earlier, it is impossible to believe God. And that faith is a core concept, a core truth for us as Christians. In a lot of churches and in the world in general, our faith is a whole lot like this elderly lady that I heard about. She was having some challenges. Some of those were real. Some of those were imaginary. And her family was trying to work with her, and they apparently had done all that they could. And finally, they said out of frustration, they told her, said, Grandma, we've done all that we can do. You're just going to have to trust God for the rest. Well, a look of despair came upon her face, and she said, oh, dear me, has it come to that? Well, folks, faith ought to be first thing. Not the has it come to that. It ought to start with faith. We as Christians ought to have our faith right up front. And we know that we have salvation by faith, but we also need to understand that we are to live our lives by faith. We trust God for salvation. We need to trust Him with our everyday life and everything in our life. And we have to do that with faith. Now, Romans chapter 1 and verse 17 is going to be our text for tonight. And there, Luke, says, for in the gospel of Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And we're going to kind of look at that phrase from faith to faith. As for years, that really puzzled me on exactly what that could mean. How do you go from faith to faith? But we're going to look at that tonight. But before we actually get to that, I want us to really make sure we have a firm understanding of what faith is. And I know we preached on it many times, but I heard an illustration, actually read an illustration the other day that really shows what faith is. And there was a man by the name of John Patton. He was translating the Bible for some South Sea Island tribe. And he discovered that these natives did not have a word for trust or faith. So, of course, as you can imagine, that would be very challenging in trying to transcribe the Bible into their language without those words. Well, one day one of the natives had been out working hard, and he came into the missionary's house, and he sat down in a chair, and he said, it is good to rest my whole weight on this chair. Well, that was a revelation to John, and from then on, when he was looking for the word faith or trust, he would use that phrase, resting one's whole self on God. And that's what faith is, isn't it? Resting our whole faith, a total, complete reliance upon God. Just like All of you came in tonight and you wholly rested your weight on that pew. You didn't sit there and test it out. You just sat down. And you might say, well, I've sat on it before. Well, I promise you, if you go to a place where there's chairs, you're not going to test them out. You're just going to sit down. And that's how we need to be with our faith. We need to be fully relying on God. And if we take that last part of verse 17 there where it says, the just shall live by faith, we could say that the just fully rely on God. And that takes our eyes completely off of our circumstances and our situation and what's going on in our economy and puts our faith on God where it should be. Now, we've used this definition before, but I want to use it again over in Romans chapter 4, talking about Abraham. It said, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now, one thing I want to interject here, we look at Abraham as the father of faith, and rightly so, but if you remember back in the Old Testament when God came to Abraham and told him that him and Sarah were going to have a baby, he said, well, how will I know that this is so? That's not a statement of faith, is it? So how did he go from being very weak in faith to being the father of faith? Well, obviously he had to grow in his faith until he finally got to the point that he was, like it says here, fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. So we have to grow in our faith. And I've often wondered, you know, about the people over in Hebrews chapter 11. We call that the Hall of Fame of Faith. Well, I'd like to be one of those people in that chapter. But we have to understand that we can be one of those people. Now, we're not actually going to get our name written in Hebrews 11, but we can be in the Hall of Fame of Faith just like they were, because they were ordinary people that learned how to take their faith to the next level. And that's what we're going to be looking at tonight when I say from faith to faith. We're going to be looking at what it means to go from the basic faith, if you want to call it that, to an extraordinary faith. I went for years not understanding that verse, not understanding at all what it was talking about. I couldn't find really anybody in any commentaries or any preachers that I heard that could really explain it. But over the years, God has given me slowly but surely some revelation on that, and that's what I want to share with you tonight. So we're going to be looking at that phrase, faith to faith. The first faith speaks of that which is primary. Talking about our basic faith that we need to be saved. The second faith speaks of that which is power-giving faith. The first faith is all about assurance that we know that we're saved, that we have our faith placed in God. The second faith tells us what we can become in God, that we can become faith giants, if you want to call it that. The first faith is a gift. The Bible says that we have all been given the measure of faith, so it is a gift that's been given to us. The second faith is all about growth. It tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we have to be in the Word, and we have to continue to grow after we receive that measure of faith. The first faith is foundational. You must be saved by faith. The second faith is the level of belief and trust that God wants us to attain, to where we get to where we fully rely on Him. And again, it's a growing process. So we're going to look at how we go from what I'm calling a foundational faith to a phenomenal faith. Because we have to admit, some of the faith in the Bible seems pretty phenomenal, doesn't it? But again, we can all reach that same level of faith. And it's really a simple process. There's only five steps to getting there, but we have to do all of these steps. Now, the first one is just a realization. We have to realize that we all start with the same amount of faith as everybody else. I just I told you, and it's the scripture for this is in Romans 12:3, that God says that we have all been given the measure of faith. It didn't say that we've all been given a measure. It didn't say that Bruce got more than Carl, or I got more than Carol, or Diana got more than Micah, or, you know, it says we've all been given the measure of faith. So we've all started off on a very level playing field, and we all have the same equal opportunity to grow in our faith once we've been saved. And we need to realize that. The only faith giants in the Bible and in our world today are the people that do the things that it takes to become people of great faith. The second thing that we have to do is believe that our faith can grow. And to go along with that, we have to believe that it will grow, if that we nurture it. And just a few things here, I want you to kind of see the different levels of faith and the people that had these. If you remember, when Jesus was in the boat and a great storm came up, and he was in the boat with his disciples and this storm came up, his disciples woke him up because they were afraid. And he looked at them and said, "O ye of little faith." Now, I find that kind of interesting, because these folks had been with Jesus all this time, and yet their faith was still small. And yet we've still got people in churches today that have been in church for years, but their faith is still small because they haven't believed that it could and would grow and haven't done the things to make it grow. There was also the lady whose daughter was possessed, and she came and asked Jesus to touch her, and she continually persisted until Jesus finally looked at her and said, "Your faith is great." So they had little faith. She had great faith. And then Paul wrote to us, or actually wrote to the church of Thessalonica, and he said he was thankful because their faith was greatly enlarged. So it wasn't just great, it was greatly enlarged. So we have the different levels here, and actually there's another level of no faith. And Jesus talked about that one time, but we're talking about those of us that are already believers. We've got the little faith, the great faith, and the greatly enlarged faith. And one thing I really want to make sure we understand tonight is, you don't have to be somebody great to have great faith. Just like this lady I mentioned a second ago, whose daughter was possessed, and she came to Jesus, and he finally told her, "Your faith is great." Well, she wasn't a disciple of Jesus as we know it. She wasn't one of the close people in Jesus' circle. So she wouldn't have been known as somebody being great. But yet she had great faith. So you can be small in the church. You don't even have to have a position or an office or anything else, a title of any kind, and still be a person of extremely great faith. Again, we all start on a very level, flat playing field, and we all have equal opportunity. But we have to believe that our faith can and that it will grow. The third thing that we need to do to help our faith to grow, and this is one area where I really think that we as Christians fall short, is we need to associate with others who do have great faith. And you may be saying, "Well, I don't know of anybody like that." Well, there's people on the internet, and there's people on TV preaching that are great in their faith. Billy Graham, one of the greatest preachers that I know of, ever a man of super great faith. Go back and listen to some of his teaching. He was definitely a man of great faith. So you can associate, even if you don't know anybody locally, and we do have people locally here, but even if you think you don't know of anybody, then you can find people on the internet, on TV, on the radio, through the medium of books, a lot of different ways. There are people there to help you that you can associate with. And the Bible tells us if we associate with wise people, we will become wise. If we associate with people of faith, we will become stronger in our faith, because we're going to be putting that in us all the time. Now, we can be in bad circumstances and have good friends. And when I'm talking about good friends, I'm talking about friends that are filled with faith and have victory. Now, if you think about Daniel and what we call the three Hebrews, folks, they were in a bad way, weren't they? Yet they helped each other and they strengthened each other in their faith. And we know how God delivered Daniel. We know how God delivered the three Hebrews. So we need to have that great association, that strong association with people of really strong faith. The fourth thing that we need to do, and this one is so easy and it's so elementary we shouldn't even have to mention it, but apparently we do, is read and embrace God's Word. I read a quote from D.L. Moody. And of course, we all know that he was one of the great contemporary giants of the faith. He said, "For years, I prayed for faith and thought someday it would come down and strike me like lightning. But faith never seemed to come. One day I read in Romans that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And he said, up to this time, I had closed my Bible and prayed for faith. He said, now I opened my Bible and began to study, and faith has been growing ever since." So even one of the great contemporary evangelists and giants of the faith in our day and time said his praying didn't bring him faith, but studying the Word of God did. And if you notice, he said it had been growing ever since. It just kept on growing for him. And the fifth thing that we need to do is we need to practice prayer and fasting. And I know that I preached on fasting a while back, but folks, it's so important that we need to reemphasize it. Again, I think the classic story is over in Matthew 17, where this man brought his son to the disciples while Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they could not help him. And I can't, well, in fact, I know it was because, if you'll remember, Jesus told them earlier that they had little faith. And Jesus came down, he met the boy's needs, and he explained to his disciples that that kind of power only comes from prayer and fasting. Only from. It's not just an option. It only comes through prayer and fasting. And great problems demand great faith. So if we want great faith and we want to be able to overcome great problems, then we're going to have to put in the time and the effort of prayer and fasting and Bible study and all of the other things that it takes to achieve the great faith that God wants us to achieve. If you're not willing to put out the effort, then you don't need to expect the results. Now, I have some probably surprising news for you guys tonight, and that is that I could be a master bodybuilder. I see some of you smirking, but I really could if I was willing to put out the time and the effort to do it. And I will never forget when Diana's brother Danny, and Danny's kind of a normal size now, but growing up he was a scrawny, skinny little runt. And he told me one day, he said, "I started lifting weights." And outside, I don't remember my expression, but inside I remember I just died laughing. I just laughed on the inside till I thought I was going to bust a gut. Well, it wasn't long, probably 2 or 3 months, I saw Danny and he started getting some muscles. About a year later, that boy had to walk around with his arms out like this. He put in the time and he put in the effort and he built his body up, built his muscles up. Well, he literally was, he wasn't a master bodybuilder, but he had built his body to be a strong, healthy body. Well, he's also a good example of the other side of that. He probably hasn't lifted weights in 15 years, and guess what? He's back looking just like the rest of us. So our faith and our spiritual discipline is something we have to do on a constant, consistent basis, and we have to be willing to put out the effort and the time that it takes to do that. And again, if we haven't done the things that it takes, then we should not be upset that we don't have the great faith that we need or want, because it's going to take time and effort. And faith is so important. In 1 John 5:4, and I like the fact that Bill sung the song tonight, that we have victory in Jesus, because 1 John 5:4 says that this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. How did Jesus overcome the world? Through his faith. How did the disciples overcome the world? Through through their faith. Folks, everything we do that's of any account and of any benefit is going to be through our faith, because the just lives by faith. We live by fully relying on God, by putting our entire weight on Him. And that verse over that Paul used about casting all of our care over on Him has been really heavy on my heart lately, because I see a lot of people in this hard economic time, they're trying to take responsibility for their finances. And we do have to be responsible as much as we can, but we've got to cast the care of that over on Christ, because He is our provider. He is our provider. It's not our jobs. It's not our government. It's not our sources of income. That could all dry up. But God is our provider. And it's not just finances. It's our families and everything else. We have to cast the entire care over it on Him and say, God, I don't know how You're going to do this, but by faith, I believe You're going to, because in Your word, You said You will. So faith is the victory that definitely will help us to overcome. And I want to encourage you, don't be like the elderly lady at the beginning of this message. Realize that your faith in Christ is your key to victorious living. Don't say, oh my, has it come to this? Start off with presenting your faith first and foremost, and realizing that your faith is what it's going to take. Because like I said earlier, and this is the point I really want us to drive home, is the just shall live by faith. We know that we're saved by faith. But after we're saved by faith, we have to grow to the point that we can live by faith. And we can only do that by doing the five things that I've shared with you tonight. Father, we come before You and we thank You so much for Your word. We thank You, Father, that it's through Your word that we can increase our faith and that we can become stronger. And Father, that we can even grow to the point that we can be called someone that is great in faith. And that's not bragging on us by any means. That's giving You the praise and the glory and the honor, because it's through You and through Your word that we grow in our faith, and that we have faith in You, that we are fully persuaded that what You have promised, You are able and will do for us. And God, I pray that You'd help us to analyze our faith tonight and help us to see if we're at the little faith, or if we're at the medium faith, or if we're at the great faith, or if we're at the place that our faith is greatly enlarged. And help us to strive, Father, to reach the highest level of faith that we possibly can, and to be committed to the study of Your word, and to be committed to doing all the spiritual disciplines that we need to do to build our faith, that we can be the warriors that You would have us to be. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.